نظام معتزلی، خوارج ان موسٹ روافظ شیعہ سے لیس بحجت، دیٹ اجماع آف امت از ناٹ حجت. اینڈ نمبر ٹو، آل فور امامز اینڈ جمہور المسلمین سے دیٹ اجماع از حجت اینڈ دلیل. امام شافعی رحمتہ اللہ علیہ سیز، آئی ٹوک دا دلیل فرام ویتبع غیر سبیل المؤمنین، بیکاز اللہ انسٹرکٹڈ دیٹ یو ہیو ٹو فالو دا سبیل آف مؤمنین. And ijma means following the sabeel of mu'mineen. When all the mu'mineen and believers say something, that is the sabeel. You have to go on that sabeel and on that path. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا تجتمع أمتي على ضلالتي. Tirmidhi narrated this, page 39, volume 2. Ibn Majah, page 283. Musnad Ahmad, 178, volume 6. Darami, page 25, jild 1. My ummah will not collaborate upon error and misguide. I have given three of dalil from Quran, seven dalil from Hadith, tilka asharatun kamila, 10 dalail should be enough to convince a person that the ijma and consensus of the ummah is an argument, is a hujjah, it should be followed, and we should not go against the ijma of ummah and take it into consideration. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi, and Imam Ahmad in the other riwayat, they all say that the ijma of all mujtahideen, al-adileen, al-salihin in every era is a hujjah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah. نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا وحبيبنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله، صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. واعتصموا بحبل الله جميعا ولا تفرقوا. وقال تعالى: ومن يشاقق الرسول من بعد ما تبين له الهدى ويتبع غير سبيل المؤمنين نولیہ ما تولا ونصلہ جہنم وساءت مصیرا. وقال النبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم: لا تجتمع امتی علی ضلالت. وقال علیہ الصلاۃ والسلام: اتبعوا السواد الاعظم فانه من شذ شذ فی النار. وقال علیہ الصلاۃ والسلام: ید اللہ علی الجماعہ ومن شذ شذ فی النار. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: إن الشيطان ذئب الإنسان كذئب الغنم يأخذ الشاذة والقاصة والناحية وإياكم والشعاب وعليكم بالجماعة. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: من خرج من الجماعة قيد شبر فقد خلع ربقة الإسلام من عنقه. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: ما رآه المسلمون حسنا فهو عند الله حسن. صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ما قال ربنا وخالقنا ورازقنا من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي: يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا مولانا محمد عبدك ورسولك النبي الأمي نبي الرحمة، كما تحب وترضى عدد ما تحب وترضى، كلما ذكره الذاكرون وكلما غفل عن ذكره الغافلون. Respected elders, brothers, friends, ladies, listeners, in this day and age, many people come out with the claim: give me a dalil from Quran and Sahih Hadith and I will accept. I only accept Quran, I only accept Hadith, I don't want to talk about anything else. This notion and this claim seems very good, very nice, it sounds nice, that yes, we need dalil from Quran and Hadith. We also say we want dalil from Quran and Hadith. But let's pause for a moment and think, is the Dalil only in the Quran and Hadith? Or can Dalil be somewhere else as well? If we think for a moment, there is a group which was trapped by Shaitan, lured by Shaitan, into making a claim that Dalil lies only in the Quran. And there is no proof and evidence in Hadith. Hadith is not a proof. When they were given a Hadith, they would say, no, I want something from Quran. You give me from Quran, I will accept. Otherwise, I don't. Hadith, they would say, no, we don't believe in Hadith. Hadith is a hearsay. Hadith was something noted down 2 centuries later. Imam Bukhari died in 256. So Bukhari Sharif was written 250 years after the death of the Prophet. So how can you trust something which was written after 200 years? So I don't believe in Bukhari, I don't believe in Muslim, I don't believe in Hadith. I only believe in Quran. So any dalil, they would say, no. You say you have to pray 5 times a day, they would say no. In Quran there's only 2 salah, bil ghuduwi wal asal, morning and evening, so we only pray 2 times a day. In Quran only 4 things are said haram. Innama harrama alaykum al-mayta wad-dam wa lahmul khinzir wa ma uhilla bihi lighayrillah. Therefore only these 4 are haram, the rest is halal. So this claim, definitely every Muslim will say that this claim is false. And this is a trap of Shaitan. Shaitan put them in that trap, put that in their mind. And that's why they made the claim. So, we say that these people are lured by Shaitan, dragged by Shaitan, and trapped by Shaitan into saying that Dalil is only in Quran and Hadith. I will only accept from Quran, I will only accept from Hadith, I will not accept anything else. Because that is an incorrect statement, that is totally false. There are dalail elsewhere as well. And you have to accept those dalail. You can't say, no, only Quran, Hadith and nothing else. What will you do with the aqwal and fatawa of Sahaba Rizwanullahi Alayhi Majma'in? Sahaba Rizwanullahi Alayhi Majma'in are the direct recipients of the Quran. They sat in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam throughout their life. They knew Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam much more better than you and I, and they had more piety. Their knowledge was profound, solid. They understood what Shariat likes, what it doesn't like, what Allah wants, what Allah hates, what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed, and how his life was. And according to that, they gave the rulings and they explained the deen to us. Abdullah ibn Masood radiallahu anhu has said, "Man kana mustannan falyastanna biman qad mat, fa innal hayya la tu'manu alayhi al-fitna, ulaika ashabu Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, kanu abarra hadhihi al-ummati quluban, wa a'maqaha ilman, wa aqallaha takallufan. اختارهم الله لصحبة نبيه ولإقامة دينه فاعرفوا لهم فضلهم واتبعوهم على أثرهم وتمسكوا بما استطعتم من أخلاقهم وسيرهم فإنهم كانوا على الهدى المستقيم." In that quote, Ibn Masud said, كانوا أبر هذه الأمة قلوبا. They had the most pious hearts among this ummah. And وأعمقها علما. And they had the most in-depth knowledge of deen. Ilm, the depth of knowledge was with them. And وَأَقَلْنَهَا تَكَلُّفًا. They were the least in pretension. So, Sahaba's aqwal are also hujjat. And you have to take dalil from the sayings of Sahaba, رِضْوَانُ اللَّهِ مَجْمَعِينَ as well. Shaitan put in these people's minds, and they make a claim. When you say that Hazrat Umar said this, Sayyiduna Uthman said this, or Sayyiduna Ali said this, or Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said this, they say, who is Umar? Who is Ali? Who is Ibn Mas'ud? I don't believe in Umar. I don't know who Ibn Mas'ud is. I only accept what Quran and Hadith say. So this is a trap of Shaitan. Knowingly or unknowingly, deliberately or unintentionally, this person is falling for the trap of Shaitan. He needs to realize, he needs to sit down for a moment and think carefully that this attitude is wrong You can't find every dalil in Quran and in Hadith. You have to take the aqwal of Sahaba, Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in, into consideration. They understood the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than anyone else. And you can't go against the rulings and the fatawa of Sahaba, Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in. So, when Sahaba, Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in, agree upon one masala, then that mas'ala and that ruling will be a dalil and a proof and evidence for the whole ummah to follow. If all the sahaba unanimously agree on one mas'ala, even if that was not in the Quran, even if that was not in the hadith, but the sahaba agreed upon it, you have to accept it as an argument, as a dalil, evidence, you can't go against it. I will give some example. Sahaba Rizwanullah Ali Majma'in agreed upon this fact that if a person has sexual intercourse with his wife but he does not ejaculate, then ghusl becomes wajib or farz upon him. He has to do ghusl. In the beginning there was a slight dispute, al-ma'u min al-ma'. But then, during the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, Sayyiduna Umar radiallahu anhu gathered the Sahaba radiallahu alayhi majma'in and had conversation with them, consulted them, that you know this masala is coming up, what do you say? He asked the Muhajireen and there was some different opinion among them. He asked the Ansar, there were two opinions among them. Then he said that you are disputing, then those after you will dispute more. We need to agree upon something. What was the late last ruling of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and come to a consensus upon it? And the Ummahatul Mu'mineen were asked. And the reply was that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that ghusl should be done. So Umar radiallahu anhu made an announcement that in this situation, you have to wash your whole body, and just washing your private part and performing wudu is not sufficient. Now, if someone comes up today and says that there is a hadith in Bukhari, there is a hadith in Muslim, which says that if you do not ejaculate, then you don't have to do ghusl, all you have to do is just wash your private parts and do your wudu, and that's enough, then this person will be going against the ijma of Sahaba, Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in, and he will be thrown out of contention. He will be from those man shadda shudda fitnar, who comes up with these types of shaz masail and who goes against and opposes the mass, then he is throwing himself into the fire of Jahannam, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said. So the ijma, consensus of the sahaba Rizwanullahi alayhi majma'in, is an evidence, a proof for masail. When there is difference of opinion among the sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in, then what do you do? We will ask our a'immah mujtahideen, and the a'immah mujtahideen will teach us. Sayyiduna Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi was asked by someone, what is the basis of your research? This ijtihad is nothing but research, and taqleed is nothing but trusting and having confidence in the research of an imam. So, what is the basis of your research? And he said, I first look in the Quran, and if I can find a masala in the Quran, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, we practice upon that. Wudu, Allah said, four faraiz, we act upon those four faraiz. Saum, you have to keep from stroke of dawn, min al-fajr, ila al-layl. So we say, saum will be from fajr till layl. So if there is a masala in the Quran, we take it immediately. We can't go against it. However, if it's not in the Quran, we look in the ahadith. If we can find some ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with regards to that masala, alhamdulillah, we take those ahadith. If there are different ahadith and variations in the ahadith, we look carefully. If there is any abrogation in there, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam abrogated this, first he gave this instruction, then he gave this one, then we look at the nasikh mansukh, and we take the nasikh and leave the mansukh. If there is no nasq in there, we look at tarjih, which one is rajih, which one is marjuh, that which one is more preferred to the less preferred, which one was more widespread, more common during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We take that hadith which was more common. If that is not possible, there is some combination is possible, we try to combine both between both ahadiths, and in this way we act upon the ahadiths. And if we can't find in the hadith, then we look at the aqwal of Sahaba Ridwanullah alayhi majma'in. And if there is difference among the Sahaba Ridwanullah alayhi majma'in, then we choose from their aqwal. We take that qawl which is more closer to the Quran and to the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So, let's say, for example, with regards to wudu, breaking by touching a woman, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu was of the opinion that awla mastumun nisa'a means if you touch a woman. So if you touch someone, the wudu is broken. However, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu was of the opinion that la mastumun nisa'a means jima, if you sleep with your wife, then your wudu breaks. So, Sayyiduna Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi said, we look at both Sahaba's call, we see that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud's call and his tashri' and tafsir explanation is more closer to Quran and Hadith, so we take that into contention. And we leave the verdict of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. So when there is difference among the Sahaba, we take that which is more closer to the Quran and Sunnah. Because Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi sees that in Hadith, a different Hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is praying tahajjud at night, it is dark in the house, Aisha radiallahu anha is sleeping, she says, my eye opens up, I wake up, and I see that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not by my side, so I try to look for him, and while I am searching, my hand falls on the sole of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while he is in sajda. So, then I realize he is here, and he was in his sajda, and making the dua, اللهم إني أعوذ بعفوك من عقابك وبرضاك من سخطك وبك منك جل وجهك لا أحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. So Imam Abu Hanifa says, here the hand of Aisha radiallahu anha touched the soul of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his wudu didn't break. He continued to pray namaz. Therefore, just touching a woman does not break the wudu. And similar hadith he took from there, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would be going out for salah, Aisha would be there, he would kiss Aisha radiallahu anha, then go for salah. So that means the wudu doesn't break. So, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi says, we choose from their aqwal. And if something comes from the tabi'een, then Imam Abu Hanifa says, zahamnahu. And we have a struggle with them. Meaning, we are also among the tabi'een. So they did their ijtihad, we do our ijtihad. Ma ja'an illahi wa rasulihi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فعلى الرأس والعين وما جاء عن الصحابة رضوان الله عليهم أجمعين اخترنا وما جاء عن التابعين زاحمناه. Because Imam Sahib himself was a tabi'i as well. He, although from صغار التابعين, he saw up to 7 صحابة رضوان الله عليهم أجمعين. The last Sahabi to die was after the year 105 after Hijrah. And Imam Abu Hanifa was born in the year 80 after Hijrah. So he saw some of the Sahaba who were, you know, in their later on in their life, elderly. But he saw them. Whether he heard hadith from them or not, people debate about that. We don't want to argue in that. But at least he saw them, and it is enough to see a Sahabi to be classed as a Tabi'i. So Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah's verdict is this. Now, so we learn from this detail that dalil and evidence does not just lie in Quran and in Hadith. And some people go on to say only Sahih Hadith, not even Zayif Hadith. I want only Sahih Hadith. How can you say that? You know, if you look at Quran, Hadith, Asar Sahaba, Hazrat Maulana Amin Safdar Uqarwi rahmatullah alayhi gives an analysis of the ayat and ahadith related to ahkam. He says, if you open the Quran, there are over 6,000 verses. From among them, 500 are related to ahkam and masail day to day. Other 5,500 or so are related to either qisas and stories of the previous nations and the prophets, or there is some nasiha and waaz in there, or they are related to akhirat, hereafter. and other masail, tawheed, risalat, aqeedah, adab, mawa'iz. So, ahkam and masail, practical masail, only 500 ayat in the Quran. If you look in the hadith, and the whole zakhira of hadith, sahih hadith, Abdullah ibn Mubarak says, with regards to ahkam, the sahih hadith are maybe 1,000. If you open Sahih al-Bukhari, without the repeats, if you take away the repeats, then according to Nawawi's estimate, 3,500, and Ibn Hajar's statement, 2,500, whatever you take, 2,500 ahadith total in Sahih Bukhari, which are not repeated. If you take the repeats, there will be over 7,500. So, from those 2,500, only 1,000 are Sahih ahadith of Ahkam. The other books, there are many other Sahih ahadith, many Zaif ahadith as well, but you can't throw the Zaif ahadith away, you have to use them as well. Moving on to the fatwa of Sahaba. Sahaba Rizwanullah Alayhim Ajma'in gave the fatwa. If you open Musannaf Ibn Abi Shayba only, there are 27,000 fatwa of Sahaba Rizwanullah Alayhim Ajma'in. So, 500, 1,000 Sahih Hadith, 20,000 fatwa of Sahaba. And the Masail that Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullahi Alayhi derived from Quran, Sunnah, and from the Aqwal and sayings of Sahaba went over 100,000. Which were gathered in the books by his students, Imam Yusuf, Imam Muhammad, and everything was put on the plate, and everything was prepared, ready. This is what Quran wants, this is what Shariat wants, this is Allah's hukum, this is Allah's Rasul's instruction, and this is how the Masailah taken out. So, this is how the research of these Aimmah takes place. Imam Malik, Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Ashaf, Imam Ahmad, they have their various ways of doing their research. Just like in this day and age, the different fields, doctors, professors, they do their research and put it forward. People accept that research. So similarly, here is the theory of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, which I have put forward. All the imma agree upon the fact that hujjat lies first in the Quran, second number is of hadith, and third number is of ijma', and fourth number is of Qiyas. Now, Quran and Hadith, we understand. Ijma', is it Hujjat or not? Today, we want to talk a little bit about the Hujjat of Hujjiyat of Ijma', whether Ijma' is a Dalil and can it be used as an evidence, an argument or not. First of all, what is Ijma'? In the literal sense, Al-Ijma' means Al-Ittifaq. Ajma' al-Qawmu ala kada means ittafaqu, they agreed upon something. The second meaning of ajma'a is al-azm, to make a firm intention. Ajma'a zaydun ala kaza, meaning he made a firm intention to do something. In the Quran, Allah said, فَأَجْمِعُوا أَمْرَكُمْ ثُمَّ كِيدُونِ فَلَا تُنْظِرُونَ. Make your firm resolution, then you can do whatever you want against me. I will, I will not be scared. This is the literal meaning of al-ijma', al-ittifaq, and al-azm. In Shariat, the author of Tawdih and Talwih writes on page 516, al-ijma'u ittifaqul mujtahideen al-salihin min ummati Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fi asrin ala amrin min al-umur. It is the agreement and ittifaq and consensus of Al-Mujtahideen al-Salihin, those who reach the rank of Ijtihad and deriving Masail from Quran Hadith, who are pious and who had piety in them, their agreement from among the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in any time, not just the time of Sahaba, in any time, upon a matter from the matters of Deen Masail. This is called Al-Ijma'. This is the definition of Ijma' in Sharia. Now, is Ijma' a Hujjat or not? There are two rays in there. Nizam Mu'tazili, Khawarij, and most Rawafiz, Shia, say, Laysa bi Hujjatin. That Ijma' of Ummat is not Hujjat. And number two, all four Imams and Jumhurul Muslimin say that Ijma' is a Hujjat and Dalil. These days, there are some people who go to say that Ijma' is not Hujjat. They are going they are leaving the call of the Aimmah Mujtahideen and they are going towards the call of the opinion of the Shia, Mu'tazila and Khawarij that Ijma is not Hujjah. What are the dalail and evidences of Jumhur, Aimmah Arba'ah, with regards to the Hujjiyat and the being evidence of Ijma? Number one, Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi was once approached by an old man. And he said, "Oh Shafi'i, you are mentioning all these masail and you say that Ijma' of Ummah is Hujjat. I want a dalil for this, that Ijma' is Hujjat from Quran. Prove me from the Quran, give me a dalil that Ijma' of Ummah is Hujjat." And he went away. Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi says, I said, "Okay, inshallah, I will give you the dalil from Quran." And he said, "I started reading the Quran." And Imam Shafi was a jayyid hafiz of Quran. He was a very swift reciter. And he completed one recitation while pondering over the Quran and ayat and meanings. He said, "I recited the Quran, I recited it once, I recited it twice. Third time, while I was reciting the fifth juz, and I came upon this ayat, وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقِ الرَّسُولَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَىٰ وَيَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّىٰ وَنُصْلِي جَهَنَّمْ وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا." Whosoever opposes the Prophet after the hidayat and guidance has become clear to him and follows a path other than the path of the mu'mineen, believers, we will let him go the way he has taken. And we will burn him in Jahannam, and that is an evil place to return to. So, Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi says, "I took the dalil from وَيَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ," because Allah instructed that you have to follow the sabil of mu'mineen, and ijma means following the sabil of mu'mineen. When all the mu'mineen and believers say something that is the sabil, you have to go on that sabil and on that path. So, when next day, when that old man came, I gave him this dalil, and he was content, he thanked me, and he went away. So the number one dalil is in this ayah. And this Sabilul Mu'mineen, it can be found in other places as well. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Luqman, وَاتَّبِعْ سَبِيلَ مَنْ أَنَابَ إِلَيَّ ثُمَّ إِلَيَّ مَرْجِعُكُمْ فَأُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. Follow the path of those who turn towards me. So who are those who turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The Al-Mujtahidun, Al-Salihun, Al-Ulama, Al-Rabbaniyun. They are Munibin. They are turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah said, follow their path. Allah did not say, وَاتَّبِعْ سَبِيلَ الْقُرْآنِ وَاتَّبِعْ سَبِيلَ السُنَّةِ. He said, وَاتَّبِعْ سَبِيلَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَاتَّبِعْ سَبِيلَ مَنْ أَنَابَ إِلَيَّ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this in many places. You read Surah Al-Baqarah. Allah said, فَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ فَقَدِ اهْتَدَوْا. If they believe as you have believed, O Sahaba, then they are rightly guided. If their belief and aqaid are against your aqeedah, then they are not rightly guided. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ آمِنُوا كَمَا آمَنَ النَّاسِ قَالُوا وَنُؤْمِنُوا كَمَا آمَنَ السُّفَهَاءُ أَلَا إِنَّهُمُ السُّفَهَاءُ وَلَكِنْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. So when it is said to them that believe as the people have believed. And what? When Allah is saying آمَنَ النَّاسِ the people, Allah is referring to the Sahaba, because He is talking to the hypocrites, about the hypocrites. That when the hypocrites, munafiqeen, are told that your belief should be in confirmation with the belief of the people, meaning the Sahaba, then they make fun and they say, "No, anu'minu kama amana sufa, should we believe like the stupid people believe?" This is the ala innahum sufa. Lo, they are the stupid, walakin la ya'lamun, however they don't realize. If we open the Quran, we will find many verses like this. In fact, we read 5 times a day in all salats, Surah Al-Fatiha. And in the Surah Al-Fatiha, Allah said, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ نَعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ. O Allah, guide us upon Sirati Mustaqim, the path of those whom you have favored, and not of those upon whom your wrath fell, and nor of those who went astray. Now this, الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ, who are they? Who are الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ? Quran itself defines, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا. Now you tell me, Nabiyeen have finished, but has Siddiqeen, Shuhada and Salihin finished? No, they prevail today as well. You will get Siddiq in this time, Shuhada in this time, Salihin in this time. So, Siratul Ladina Namta Alayhim means, in every era, every zamana and time, there are Salihin, there are Shuhada, there are Siddiqeen, and also the prophets who went before, we have to follow in their footsteps. Look at them, trust them, have confidence in them. So, this is Sabeel Man Anaba Ilayya, Sabeelul Mu'mineen, following their path. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us. Number two, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Hold firmly to the rope of Allah and do not cause divisions. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, causing divisions and differences is prohibited. The meaning of this is that mukhalafatul ijma is not allowed. Because tafarruq means mukhalafatul ijma. Causing divisions means going against the ijma. When the whole ummah is saying something and you go against it, you are deferring and you are going against the whole mass. So, mukhalafatul ijma is not allowed. Number three, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُضِلَّ قَوْمًا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَاهُمْ. Allah is not such that He would mislead a people after He had guided them. So when Allah has guided the ulama, rabbaniyin, mahdiyin, the mujtahideen, the sulaha, then whatever Allah places in their heart and they agree upon something, then that will be haq. That will not be against haq. Because if that was against haq, that would be dhalal. Dhalal, Allah said, فَمَاذَا بَعْدَ الْحَقِّ إِلَّا dhalal. So whatever Allah puts in their heart, they agree upon something that is haq, and it should be taken into consideration, and you should practice upon it and use it. So these are three dalail, and many other dalail I mentioned of sabila man anaba ilayya and sabila al-mu'mineen and others from Quran. This is from where the a'imma take the dalil that ijma' of ummah is hujjat, and you have to take it into consideration, take it as an argument and evidence. In the ahadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La tajtami'u ummati ala dhalalati. Tirmidhi narrated this, page 39, volume 2, Ibn Majah, page 283, Musnad Ahmad, 178, volume 6, Darami, page 25, jild 1. My ummah will not collaborate upon error and misguide. They will not get together and be misguided. The whole ummah will never be misguided. And alhamdulillah, if you look over the 1400 centuries, there have been many attempts to mislead the ummah, lead it astray. But in every era, there were ulama who, alhamdulillah, tackled those who wanted to deviate the ummah. And they brought the haq forward. And the haq was brought and batil was eradicated. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ جَاءَ الْحَقُّ وَزَهَقَ الْبَاطِلِ. You look over the whole centuries. Whenever batil arose, haq ulama of haq also came forward and the batil was wiped away and finished off. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah's time, falsafa is on its high and its peak. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts the khidmah of Ghazali and he writes books like Ihya'u Ulumuddin, Al-Munqidh Min Al-Dalal, and other books like this. And the falsafis who would take no other thing as argument evidence besides falsafa. So Ghazali rahmatullahi gave their answers through their own books and through their own works, and Islam, alhamdulillah, was established and the batil was wiped out. So in every era, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has worked in mysterious ways. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, لا تجتمع أمتي على ضلالتي. Allah's Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, لا تجتمع أمتي على ضلالتي. Number two, عليكم بالسواد الأعظم. رواه الترمذي, page 39, volume 2. Hold on to the largest mass. Meaning there is a mass gathering and the whole ummah is agreed upon something, then follow as-sawadul azam. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said in another hadith, اتبعوا السواد الأعظم فإنه من شذ في النار, where the ummah, the whole ummah is going on one side, then follow that side. Because whosoever opposes and raises his finger to say a different opinion, then he will be going to fire. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, يَدُ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْجَمَاعَةِ, Allah's help is with the jama'ah. وَمَنْ شَدَّ شُدَّ فِي النَّارِ. Tirmizi, page 39, volume 2. And the اتَّبِعُوا السَّوَادَ الْأَعْظَمِ, Mustadrak Hakim, 199, volume 1. Number 5, Mu'az ibn Jabal says, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ ذِئْبُ الْإِنسَانِ كَذِئْبِ الْغَنَمِ يَأْخُذُ الشَّاذَّةَ وَالْقَاسِيَةَ وَالنَّاحِيَةَ وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَالشِّعَابِ وَعَلَيْكُمْ بِالْجَمَاعِ. Shaitan is the wolf of human beings, just as there is a wolf of the sheep. Just as the wolf takes the lonely sheep who are further away from the herd and who are in one corner, similarly, Shaitan grabs hold of those who are further away from the mass and who are in one corner and who are distanced away from the majority. He said, وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَالشِّعَابِ وَعَلَيْكُمْ بِالْجَمَاعَةِ. Stay well away from the pathways of the mountain, meaning going into those, otherwise Shaitan will be lurking there for you to capture you. And he said, وَعَلَيْكُمْ بِالْجَمَاعَةِ, and hold on to the jama'ah. This riwayat is in Musnad Ahmad and Mishkat al-Masabiyah. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, number 6, مَنْ خَرَجَ مِنَ الْجَمَاعَةِ قِيلَ شِبْرٍ فَقَدْ خَلَعَ رِبْقَةَ الْإِسْلَامِ مِنْ عُنُقِهِ. Whosoever goes out of the jama'ah equivalent to one fist, then he has taken out the rope of Islam from his neck. Rawahu Abdul Razzaq, page 339, volume 11, and Hakim 204, volume 1. So if you go away from the jama'ah, just equivalent to one fist, not even more than that. Today people are going further and further away from Jama'at al-Muslimin and bringing up new things. If you look throughout the world, maybe 99% of the population of the world are following the research of an imam, but there are 1% who are saying no, follow Quran, follow Hadith, don't follow the research of the imam, and don't do taqleed, and taqleed is shirk and it's not allowed. You go, or you become a broad-minded person. You look over England and you will see there may be 1,500, 2,000 masajid. How many masajid are of the Ahnaf and Shawafi'at and those who follow Mazhab? Most of them, whichever maktabi figure they belong to, but they will be Hanafi. Only a few, maybe 40, 50 from those 2,000 masajid will belong to those who call themselves Salafis. And there most of them will be small houses, libraries. And this is shuzuz. This is going away from the jama'ah. Jama'atul Muslimin, against the jama'ah. And this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. Don't do that. Don't go against the jama'ah. Like, otherwise, you will be going away from Islam. And also number 7. مَا رَآهُ الْمُسْلِمُونَ حَسَنًا فَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ حَسَنًا. Whatever the Muslims see as good, then that will be good in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is narrated by Musnad Ahmad, page 626, volume 1, and by Musnad Abu Dawud Tayalisi, volume page 33, from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in Muwatta Imam Muhammad, it's narrated from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu. Whether it's marfu' or mawquf, it indicates that when the al-muslimun al-kamilun, the complete believers, the ulama, the sulaha, and the Ahlullah and the Mujtahideen, when they say that this is good in the eyes of Allah, even it might not be in the Quran, it may not be in the Hadith, but Allah has put it in their hearts, then this will be good in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. So these I have given three dalils from Quran, 7 dalils from Hadith, tilka asharatun kamila. 10 dalail should be enough to convince a person that the ijma' and consensus of the ummah is an argument, is a hujjah, it should be followed, and we should not go against the ijma' of ummah and take it into consideration. Now, let me give you a few examples of masail ijma'iyah on which the ijma' of the ummah has taken place. Number 1, I've just said one example, jima' bidunil inzal mujibi ghuslih, that having sexual intercourse without inzal and ejaculation is a reason, a cause for ghusl, and you have to do ghusl, whether you ejaculate or not, you have to do ghusl, and there is ijma' upon it. And you will be amazed to hear people in this day and age saying that no, there is a hadith in Muslim and Bukhari, or so and so, Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi, you don't need to do ghusl, finish, full stop. I mentioned somewhere, Sheikh Muhammad Atiyah Salim mentioned in his book about his ikhtilaf ummah, he is extremely disturbed person. He lives in Medina Munawwara. He delivers his lesson in Al-Masjid al-Nabawi al-Sharif. He has now passed away. He was a Maliki scholar and he was a very learned person. His durus and his lessons were amazing. And alhamdulillah, I used to sit in sometimes in his dars as well during our safar of Hajj and benefit from him. So this Sheikh Atiyah Salim, sometimes in his book he's crying. He says that when my mind is boggled when I see the youngsters of this day and age, they bring about masail from hadith here and there, they pick one hadith, pick and choose hadith, and they go against the ijma of ummah. And he says, this practically happened to me, that this young boy, he comes to me, he has no knowledge of deen, and he says to me that, if you have intercourse and you don't, your semen does not come out, you don't need to do ghusl. So I asked him, are you asking me a question, or are you giving me some information? He said, no, I'm giving you an information. Who told you this? He said, well, this imam or this alim in our area, in Medina Munawwara, in our vicinity, in our masjid, he mentioned this masala. Allahu Akbar, this means that there are some so-called scholars who have no knowledge of deen, but they are wearing that robe and that red scarf, and they have called themselves scholars, and they are misleading the ummah. They are telling these masail to the youngsters, and they are causing fractions and divisions within the ummah. May Allah have mercy upon the ummah, and guide them, and give them hidayah. This masala is ijma'iyah. From the time of Sahaba, Aimmah Arba'a are muttafiq on this. And no one has ever disputed in this mas'ala. Not even the people of Zahiriyah, not even Dawud Zahiri and others are disputed in this mas'ala. So people bring about this mas'ala and they say that this ijma'i mas'ala, no, hadith is there, so we don't need to do ghusl. Number two, another example given here by this Mawlana Sahib in this real nice book, Mawlana Jameel Ahmad Sahib Sakhroudwi, Ustad of Darul Deoband, in this book called Ijma' al-Qiyas ki Hujjiyat. He gives an example that in the transaction, if a person buys something and he has not seen it, and then he will have the choice of returning it after seeing it. He said this masala was debatable during the time of Uthman Ghani radiallahu anhu. Sayyiduna Uthman Ghani radiallahu anhu sold a piece of land to Talha ibn Ubaidillah radiallahu anhu. And when the transaction was completed, Sayyiduna Uthman Ghani radiallahu anhu exclaimed that I have profited in this and you have suffered loss. So Uthman Ghani, when he made this remark, Hazrat Talha said, if that is the case, then I have the khiyar and choice of seeing him, because that land which Uthman Ghani sold him was in Basra. And this transaction was taking place in Medina Munawwara. So Talha said, I haven't seen it, so I have a choice of looking at it first. Uthman said, no, transaction completed. But Talha said, no, I will have a look at it first. They, in order to, settle the dispute, they approached Jubayr ibn Mut'im radiallahu anhu, who was a senior among them. He heard both views, and then he said that Talha should have a khiyari ruyat and a choice of seeing it first. There were many sahabas in there, and even though Uthman Ghani radiallahu anhu did not like it, he opposed it, but because all the sahaba radiallahu anhu agreed upon it, he said, okay, no problem, when everybody is agreeing upon this, he has khiyari ruyat. So from then on, this masala has become ijma'iyya, consensus, that when a person buys something, he has not seen it, then he has the choice of returning it after seeing it if he doesn't like it. This is called khiyar-e-ru'yat. Masala is ijma'iyya. Similarly, number three, in Sahih al-Bukhari, it is narrated that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed Salatul Taraweeh for only two nights in the month of Ramadan. And in the third night, he did not come out of the house because there were so many people and he feared that Allah would make that salah farz upon them. So he said, leave it. And he did not perform Salatul Taraweeh for the third night. Now, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passes away and Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu is Khalifa. After 2 years and a few months, he also passes away. And then Umar is made Khalifa. And in the first Ramadan of the Khilafat of Umar radiallahu anhu, Ramadan, year 14 after Hijrah, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu makes a consensus of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in that we should pray Tarawih behind one imam, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did it in those two nights, and he liked it, and he only didn't come out on the third night for fear of it being made compulsory. There is no fear of it being made compulsory now, so we should pray it in the manner which he liked. And the Sahaba agreed, and they agreed upon 20 rakats. And upon 20 rakats Tarawih, there has been the ijma of Ummah from the time of Sahaba Rizwanullah Majmai, during the time of Umar, during the time of Osman, during the time of Sayyidina Ali, in all the countries and cities governed and ruled by the Muslims, everywhere 20 rakats were being performed. We can debate on this and bring you proof from all the centuries. This same Ustad, Sheikh Muhammad Atiyah Salim, he has written a risala with regards to Salatul Taraweeh, and he has proved in there, century after century, century after century, that in all these 14 centuries, in Haramain al-Sharifain, and throughout the Muslim world, there has always been 20 rakats of Taraweeh. That is the practice. This is ijma' of Ummah, and it's hujjat. Now, if someone will say, in Bukhari there's only 8 rakats, and Rasulullah played only 8 rakats, he would not read more than 8 rakats in Ramzan and outside Ramzan, we will say, dear friend, that hadith of Bukhari is about tahajjud. It's not about Taraweeh. There is a difference between Taraweeh and tahajjud. Taraweeh is prayed in the first part of the night, and tahajjud is prayed in the last part of the night. That is why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in one hadith, وَالَّتِي تَنَامُونَ عَنْهَا أَفْضَلُ مِنَ الَّتِي تَقُومُونَ لَهَا. That tahajjud from which you stay asleep is more virtuous than that for which you stand up, meaning the Taraweeh. Sahaba used to pray Taraweeh, and then they would go sleep, and then wake up for suhoor, and come for fajr. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the tahajjud which you miss is more virtuous than the Taraweeh which you pray. This hadith is in Bukhari. So Taraweeh and tahajjud are both different. Don't mix them up and say, because another indication here is that Aisha radiallahu anha said in that hadith, fi Ramadan wala ghayri. He would not pray more than 8 in Ramadan, nor other than Ramadan. So tell me, do you pray Taraweeh in the other 11 months? No, nobody prays Taraweeh in the other 11 months. So this Ramzan and Ghair Ramzan word indicates that Aisha is speaking about Tahajjud and not about Taraweeh. And upon the masla of Taraweeh, there is ijma' and consensus of the Ummah. So today, we have to pray Taraweeh 20 rakats. That is the ruling. Similarly, another example. During the Salatul Janazah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed Salatul Janazah in different manners. You will get a hadith that once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited 5 takbirats in Salatul Janazah. Once he recited 7 takbirats. Once he recited 9 takbirs in Salatul Janazah. And however, he used to, most of the time he used to recite 4. During the time of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum agreed upon 4, and they said that we should recite 4. And the Aimma also said that upon this is the Ijma. So from now on 4, and alhamdulillah, according to all 4 mazahib, only 4 takbirat are said in Salatul Janazah. Now if someone comes up and says in so and so hadith, there are 9 takbirat, so from now on we'll say 9 takbirat because it's in hadith, then he is going against the Ijma of the Sahaba, the Ijma of the Aimma. This is not right, this is not correct. You have to take dalil from the ijma of Sahaba Rizwanullah alayhim ajma'in and ijma of the others as well. So, this is a brief description and explanation of the masail of ijma, how they come. One point to note here is, whose ijma can be accepted? There are various opinions in there. Dawud Zahiri and Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal in one narration say that the ijma of only Sahaba radiallahu anhum is acceptable, and the ijma of those who came after them is not acceptable. They say because it is possible that afterwards when people came, there might be someone who differed. So you can't say that there is consensus on upon this masala and all the ulama have agreed. There might be someone who has differed and you don't know. So how can you say there is ijma and consensus and ittifaq and agreement on this? So that is why the only the ijma of Sahaba is acceptable. Number 2, امام مالک رحمت اللہ علیہ used to say the اجماع of only اہل مدینہ is acceptable. Other than اہل مدینہ, not acceptable. He said Medina was the place where the Prophet صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم stayed during his later life, and it was the place of wahi and revelation where all, majority of the ahkam came. So the sahaba and the people of Medina, if they agree upon something, then that will be a hujjat and dalil. If others agree somewhere else, that will not be a hujjat. And ahle Medina means sahaba, tabi'in, tabi tabi'in, whoever lived in Medina, their agreement and consensus upon a masla will be hujjat and dalil. Number three, from the Rawafiz and Shia, Firqa Zaydiyah and Imamiyah say, only the ijma of Ahle Bayt, the close relatives of the Prophet ﷺ is hujjat. And the others' ijma is not hujjat an argument. And number four, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi, and Imam Ahmad in the other riwayat, they all say that the ijma of all mujtahideen, al-adileen, al-salihin in every era is a hujjah. And it is haq. Haq will be in that ijma. Al-mujtahideen, al-adileen, al-salihin, al-ulama, al-amileen, al-rabbaniyeen, when they get to agree upon one masla, then that will be hujjah. So, if the a'imma mujtahideen, all four imams agree upon one masla, then you shouldn't go against it. You shouldn't say, who is Abu Hanifa, who is Malik, who is Shafi, who is Ahmad, I don't know them. Are you more learned than them? You are from this 15th century, the century of fitnas. And you don't even have the knowledge like they had. You don't have the piety like they had. And you go on to rival with them and make yourself like them and ask for hadith, 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 hadith. This is not the right attitude. And so the ijma of the a'imma mujtahideen, ulama, is hujjat. And of all times, let me say, you know, even this, in this day and age, alhamdulillah, we have these ulama. Let's say, for example, in Makkah Mukarramah, there is Rabitatul Alam al-Islami. And they have their annual congregation. And in that jalsa and conference, they call upon, they invite ulama from all areas, of all parts of the world. From India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, from the Middle East, from other parts, Africa, Indonesia, Malaysia. And there is conference of 3 days, and critical masail are debated in there. Now, if there was debate in there, the dalail were brought forward, and the ulama agree upon one masala, and they all agree upon something, there is no one who goes against it, then their agreement can be taken as hujjat and dalil. If someone does oppose them, raises his finger, nope, I don't believe in this, I'm going against it, then that person will be from the shazza and shuzuz, he is going against it. And his opinion will not be taken into consideration. For example, some time ago, I have forgotten the exact date, maybe in 1982, 83, some time ago, there was this debate about 3 talaqs. Will they be taken as 3 or 1? In that Rabitatul Alam al-Islami. And the consensus was upon the fact that yes, when a person divorces his wife 3 times, that it will be taken, 3 divorces will be taken as 3 and not as 1. And there was debate, dalail, and every debate and debate afterwards. And all those ulama in that majlis all signed on there that yes, this is an agreed upon masla. Only a handful of ulama, few differed. And among them, the leader was Sheikh Abdul Aziz ibn al-Baz. He said, no, I am not going in a confirmation with this. My opinion is still 3 is 1. So he was the only one, and someone who was with him, other than those, everyone said that yes, 3 is 3. And this was an agreed upon masla. And this has been agreed upon since centuries. I mean, there is no ikhtilaf of any imam in this masala. Not even Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Shafi'i, Imam Malik, Imam Ahmad. All 4 a'immas agree that 3 are 3. When a person says, I divorce you, I divorce you, I divorce you, that 3, the wife is gone. And he should have, you know, thought before saying those words. And 3 will be classed as 3, and you can't go against the ijma. So, Similarly, if there are masail on which ulama agree, and we should respect that their agreement and take that into consideration. So this is ijma of all times hujjat. Someone might differ, they have the right to differ. If they have their own research, okay, go according to your research. If their research is based on Quran, Hadith, we will respect them. MashaAllah, okay, you can keep your view to yourself. But the mass will be informed with the view of the majority and of the, if there is ijma. Sometimes this word ijma and sometimes another word is used, ittifaq. Ittifaq is used when there are some differences. That majority have agreed and done ittifaq on this, but even though there might not be ijma and consensus of all the ulama. So we have to keep this into consideration that the ijma of ummah is hujjat. These are just a few examples and explanation. The conclusion is that ijma of ummah is hujjat, and upon that is the ijma of ummah. There are some people who differ and some ulama who say something different. They have their right to be different. May Allah give them reward for their works. But most of the ulama have said that yes, ijma of ummah is hujjat. This is with regard to ijma. Then there is another issue of qiyas. Inshallah, we will deal with this in another discourse. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين صلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا رحم الرحيم.